You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We know the vast majority of you listen on demand, and even for our live listeners, if you want to join the conversation after the conversation is ended with a question, a comment, an addition, a correction, a criticism, or a show suggestion, talkback@issuesetc.org. Same thing goes for our Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Let's begin with lots of criticism from not this week's interview with Terry Mattingly, but last week's interview about media coverage of President Trump holding a Bible in front of St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C. This comes from Ben in Wisconsin. He says, "Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I always like it when Terry Mattingly comes on, as I've remarked several times on Twitter. I like his dramatic pauses and how he often ends his statements with questions like, 'Does that make sense?' Last time he was on was no disappointment, but I guess I did take issue with some things he said regarding the recent riots and protests. For one instance, he seemed to praise kneeling. That concerned me a little, since I've seen some internet videos of people guilted into kneeling that were pretty disturbing to me. Some other instances where there was prayer involved were less so. Another issue I wondered about was when he mentioned white people taking responsibility for acts of hatred against black people. My family came from Scandinavia in the late 19th century. I don't know for sure, but I'd like to bet that none owned slaves or mistreated black people. Should I, as both an American or as a Christian, take responsibility for injustice against black Americans just because I'm white? Thanks for listening in Wisconsin, and thanks for the email, Ben."
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Terry would answer the latter question there, no. What he was doing, I did not hear him praising the kneeling. I did hear him simply observe that he had seen some white leaders kneeling with protesters as a sign of either some kind of repentance or guilt. But he was simply making an observation there, not necessarily praising it. Look, we're going to see all kinds of things taking place. I think in St. Louis, they decided to go beyond kneeling. And when they did some of their protests, it was, from what I saw in the news, a bunch of white college students laying face down on the pavement. Now, was that a sign of repentance, or was it a sign of solidarity, like being thrown to the pavement by a police officer? I don't know. Those things go unexplained, and sometimes symbolic actions that go unexplained are often, very often, misinterpreted.
Lindsay writes, "Terry Mattingly said in this recent segment, quote, 'I've seen snippets of some demonstrations of white Christians kneeling with black Christians and asking for their forgiveness and repenting of their culture of racism,' end quote. This is accepting the premise that today in 2020, the primary problem here is that there is a deep-seated culture of systemic racism. Does anyone believe that the terrible act of injustice upon George Floyd was acceptable? Is it also possible that this act of injustice was not motivated by racism? Terry covers the media coverage, yet he failed to cover CNN standing by one of their news anchors saying, 'Who said protests have to be peaceful?' Or their Catholic priest religious commentator who said, quote, 'The word of God is on the side of the protesters,' end quote. Instead, we get derailed on college assignments from the 1990s and the differences between white and black pastors. Terry, the story is that peace is being omitted. The story is that anchors, pundits, and even apparent religious leaders are encouraging anger and violence. My heart breaks and I'm losing hope. We could all do to pray Daniel's prayer for the nation. Thanks for the email, Lindsay."
Well, you're not alone, Lindsay. I think everybody's completely bewildered, discouraged by what we're seeing happening in some parts of our country. I try to remind myself when I wake up in the morning and start flipping through Twitter that it has a tendency to magnify the absolute worst ideas that are out there. It also has a tendency to make it look like these things are happening everywhere when they're actually only happening in a few places. Now, that's not to dismiss how terribly foolish and destructive much of this has been. So I share your bewilderment and your discouragement in that sense. But it is a very, very small amount of very, very small number of people who are actually doing this relative to our entire country. Yes, the media would like you to believe that the entire country's on fire, literally and figuratively. Most people, however, are simply going about their lives. And that's not to discount the issues that play in the protests, but most people are simply going about their lives and minding their own business. Now, as to the question of whether I did see some videos of people kneeling and they're reciting some kind of a corporate creed. They're being led by someone with the bullhorn, kind of confessing to all these kinds of sins. There's a group of celebrities that have just put out a PSA and they're all taking personal responsibility for things that probably none of them have anything to do with. I think it was Pastor Hans Feeney that once observed that as bad as it is to fail to confess sins that you have committed, it is as bad to confess sins you haven't committed. Now, are we guilty of all sins? Of course we are. But we can't say we're always committing every single sin that there is. Sins are particular to people, and we should no more confess sins that we haven't committed than we should fail to confess sins that we have. Those are my thoughts on that one.
Comes from Paul, Alexandria, Virginia. He writes, Pastor Wilkin, I think that both you and Terry miss a very important point as to what is going on these days. The rioters and the protesters are not the same groups of people. The protesters are generally peaceful, although it should be noted that they're rushing to judgment, protesting before the autopsies of Floyd had even been posted. However, the rioters are Antifa communist thugs taking advantage of the protests and attempting to overthrow the government of the United States. Also, the mainstream media are not only merely ignorant of the situation, they are actively complicit. You simply cannot make the statements that they make and be professional reporters and not be biased. Thanks for listening in Alexandria, Virginia, Paul.
I don't think those points are lost on either Terry or me. I will tell you this much. Terry interacts with the media, from what I can tell, Terry interacts with the media via the print media far more and the internet far more than he does by flipping on CNN. I don't think Terry would have much patience for that kind of reporting. It's broadcast journalism is a different animal, partly because of the medium, than print journalism. Terry spends a lot more time with print journalism, which is probably why, per the previous emailer's complaint, he does not respond to CNN. He probably doesn't watch CNN. And if their numbers are true, I don't think there are many people watching CNN, except for people waiting for their planes to board at LaGuardia. And they're forced to watch it because that's the only thing on the big screen. Here's some positive feedback about Terry Mattingly from the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. This is David from Fort Wayne. Once again, Terry Mattingly hits the ball out of the park in his interview with you. Very much appreciated, because he is right in that the media, mainstream media that is, does not get religious reporting that needs to be present when covering things like racial relations, and which really, quite honestly, is not being played out in mainstream media today, especially during the current time. I agree with them, Terry's solution of getting the various voices that he mentioned involved. Yet at the same time, I'm concerned because the mainstream media, Antifa and so forth, use a language that is very postmodern, very image and soundbite driven, and really does not have solidity. On the other hand, it is based in suspicion and despair. And those of us that do speak from a position of reconciliation, of reason, and foundational first principles do want to rely and want to discuss things in a matter of substance, where yes, we may have emotions over the racial issues. We recognize the pain and hurt that people go through. And yet there's always that certain rock solid objectivity that we can go back to. And I think that's very important as we look at dialoguing, whether it be in the mainstream media, whether it be in the talk radio or in the social media such as Facebook or Twitter, when discussing things in the public square of ideas. Thank you, and God's blessings on your continued work with the issues, etc.
David, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I'm sure Terry appreciates it as well. Well, make no mistake about it. By and large, the broadcast media is not interested in engaging in discussion. They're interested in keeping your attention, and those are two completely different things. Social media is often faulted because somehow the medium, you can't have a theological conversation there, you can't have a political conversation there, and the medium contributes to it, but I think it has simply shown us a larger problem, which is we have generally lost the ability to have intelligent discussion. And Facebook and Twitter and all the other places where we try to have intelligent discussions have only magnified that inability. And that is simply the symptom of a more basic problem, an inability to think. It comes back to what you were saying, David, and that is the use of language betrays that people are not able to think. Think about what has happened over the last couple of days. People cry out, defund the police. And when you say, do you really want to defund the police? Half of them say, yes, we really, really do. And the other half are wringing their hands and waving their hands, trying to explain to you how a phrase like defund the police doesn't mean defund the police. But when language loses the threads that hold it together and words no longer mean what they mean, or they mean whatever I want them to mean or whatever I can make them mean, then we've lost the ability to think. Language and thinking go together. We think in words. We think in sentences. We think in ideas that are cogent and held together by logic. But when you start cutting those threads and words don't mean what they used to mean, and they can mean anything anybody wants them to mean in any different context, we lose the ability to think and discuss, and then come to any kind of reasonable conclusions. It's called insanity, is what it's called. We'll be right back. Right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues, Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues, Etc. listener comment line live this Thursday, June the 11th.
We'll return to email and comment line. We've got a major announcement regarding the 2020 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Well, what we've done is we have decided, since COVID-19 has made it impossible for us to gather in the group of 500 that we had planned, we had sold out 3 months in advance for the conference at our in-person gathering limit of 500 at Concordia University in Chicago. Since that is not going to be possible in any shape, matter, or form, we've decided to move the conference online, have a virtual conference. That means you stay home, and according to the conference schedule, you can watch it either streaming or online. Everybody who's already registered for the conference is already registered for the conference. You don't have to worry about that. You'll be able to have access to that. We'll give you a way of accessing the stream and the recorded version of the conference. Our speakers will still be there in Chicago. We'll still do a live broadcast from Chicago that you'll be able to see and watch live and recorded. You don't come to Chicago, of course, unless you live in Chicago. But you still don't show up at Concordia University because it'll just be us in an empty studio. So your $135 registration fee already covers all that, watching it live and on demand. The good thing about this, we hate that we cannot gather together as a group like we always do. I mean, know how much that means to our conference attendees, but it's just simply not possible. The upside is that 500 attendee limit is gone. We can now have as many attendees at the virtual conference as we want to. Now, if you go to our website, issuesetc.org, you'll see in the drop-down menu, Virtual Conference 2020. If you click on that, you can register for the virtual Making the Case conference. We'll have the speakers there. Mark and Molly Hemingway will be there answering your questions in Q&A. The other speakers will have Q&A and their presentations as well. Issuesetc.org. Go to the drop-down menu and register for the conference. There is no limit on attendance anymore. If you have any questions, you can call Lynn at 618-223-8385.
I bet she really appreciates you giving out that phone number. And the dates are Friday, July 24th, Saturday, July 25th. The format is essentially the same. We've had to take some the worship services and things like that out since it's going to be you, me, and a couple of speakers there. But it'll be live on Friday the 24th of
July. Just like you're going to the conference.
Yep. And Saturday, July 25th.
Now, we'll give you breaks for meals, we promise.
Yeah. Please do not show up at Concordia University Chicago because it was supposed to be originally June 12th and 13th tomorrow. I am going to lose sleep tonight because I know I'm going to get that call tomorrow morning about somebody coming to the conference, which of course the original dates were the 12th and 13th of June. So please do not show up at Concordia University Chicago tomorrow. And we've got this, all the same speakers will be there. Dr. Robert George of Princeton, you mentioned Mark and Molly Hemingway. We had to replace Dr. Albert Mohler with Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire. And of course, Pastor Hans Feeney and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be there. You mentioned we'll be doing the show live from there. That will include, our guests will be Dr. Adam Francisco, who's now at Concordia University of Chicago, and President Russell Dawn of Concordia University of Chicago.
And in lieu of the hymn sing, which is proven almost impossible to do, and believe me, you don't want to hear me and Jeff just singing alone there, we're going to have an Issues Etc. Q&A with Jeff and I, where you can submit questions in advance and ask any question you want about the program. You know, we've got a long history, 25 plus years, and a lot has happened in those 25 years. If you've ever been curious about kind of the inside baseball of Issues Etc., we'll give you an opportunity to submit your questions in advance, and we will answer them during the second day after the lunch hour.
Or you might just want to vent like most people emailing today.
They might just want to complain at us.
Yeah. So we probably spend the hour taking complaints about Terry Mattingly.
We've been doing this for a long time, and we've always known that certain things stir up our listeners. We get a lot more complaints during presidential election years. And if you throw on top of that, which it is this year, obviously, the global pandemic and then the social unrest in the United States and elsewhere, it's kind of heightened our listeners' nerves. I'm going to say that in a nice way. It's made our listeners a little bit nervy with us.
And now getting back to the conference, which I would rather discuss, it will be interactive. So just like in the past, if you're a paid registrant and you're watching live, you can ask questions of Molly Hemingway or make comments. We'll be able to do all that stuff in real time on Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th.
All right.
Here's some criticism about another regular S lineman, Stone. You had Stone come on your show and just repeat all the popular propaganda we've been hearing for months about COVID. His article is not some kind of an alternative. All he said was maybe a super crazy strict lockdown isn't necessary. Yet he goes on to assume that if you get COVID, you will die and your children will die. And if you're a parent who is sick, your children should fear you and shame on the U.S. for not being more accommodating to separating families. Does Stone think the only other disease people have ever died from is the 1918 Spanish flu? Or does he really think that 100% of people die from COVID? Excuse me, maybe 99%. He just does a drive-by with that Lutheran family in which every single member is on life support. Context, is he claiming this is typical? Every family with COVID gets to be put on life support simultaneously, waiting to die alone? That was CNN-level reporting you had on your show. Disagreeing with one tiny point does not mean he has anything unique to say. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the feedback.
Well, I can honestly say I don't think Lyman Stone said any of those things. Please go back and listen to the interview again, because Lyman didn't say any of those things. He's a very serious demographer, and you don't get to see all the charts and graphs, but he could certainly show them to you to back up his ideas and his thoughts on the global pandemic. He did not say that if you get COVID, you die. He did not say that the only thing people die from is the Spanish flu and COVID. I don't think he was repeating any propaganda. In fact, he has been constantly responding to the misinformation that the media have been putting out about COVID-19. He actually has a pretty reasoned approach to the global pandemic and firsthand experience with it, as well as the expertise in the demographics. So I can honestly say Lyman didn't say one of those things that you said he said.
Here's a complaint about another regular guest, Bill McKeever. Brian writes, by the way of introduction, my name is Brian and I was raised Mormon. Left that church when I was 16 and then was an avid atheist and very invested in the ex-Mormon community for much of that. Eventually, I stumbled on Christianity after realizing that my upbringing had given me a very skewed picture of what Christianity was. My parents were very devout and held semi-high level regional positions within the Mormon church. I've been baptized, catechized, and confirmed in my local Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation, where I've been attending for almost 2 years now. I just listened to the episode on 1-3 of 18, that's a little while back, January 3rd of 18, episode of Issues, Etc. with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry. While I think it's an interesting discussion and that many of his insights are valid and well put, there are some things that he said that do not accurately reflect the reality of the Mormon experience or the understanding of Mormon history within the church. Essentially, some of the claims he made in the podcast were simply put untrue. I don't ascribe malicious intent to this, and I don't hold any ill will towards Bill about it. I also completely understand that you at Issues, Etc. had no reason to believe that anything he said was untrue. I am also definitely not on the side of Mormonism insofar as I do now think they are wrong and maybe even dangerously so. And yet I recall the small catechism's explanation of the Eighth Commandment and remember that I still love and care for my parents despite their awkward theology. Might I suggest in the future contacting the LDS Outreach /PR department with content to try and check it first? I hope this was helpful and that I did not come off too harshly. I love your work and have enjoyed many an episode of Issues, Etc. in the past. God bless you and all the work you do. Thanks for the email, Brian.
Brian, thank you very much. If you could do us a favor, because I'm sure that Bill would like to respond to some of that, if you could be a little more specific and tell us exactly what it is you think Bill got wrong when it came to the teachings and practices of Mormonism. So if you would, go back and listen to that episode again and just make a little list and email it to us, talkback@issuesetc.org, and we could have Bill respond possibly.
Philip writes, I was listening to Hank Canegraff's address at the 2018 Spring Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference with great interest. I lived in Saudi Arabia from 76 to 82. I was in Jeddah, which is 45 miles from Mecca, during the fighting in the central mosque. I read accounts of the fighting and the negotiations with the Wahhabis, which led to the closure of our church in Jeddah and all the Christian churches in the Arabian Peninsula. What Hank misses is that a large portion of Muslims are silent, leaving Islam through apostasy. I have watched sullen men silently go to mosque only because of the Matawa religious police forced them. I have spoken with co-workers that lamented the lack of freedom and their hatred of Islam. While we promote young people to disbelief after confirmation, strict adherence to Sharia does a better job of alienating Muslims. The difference is that we don't pursue our problem children with pitchforks. Thanks for listening, Philip.
I'm certain that that is the case. I mean, could there be something more soul-crushing than the teachings and the practices of Islam? And I'm certain that you are right, that there are many who just continue to practice out of fear, especially where it holds political ascendancy. There are many sincere Muslims, too, and people who, for some reason, find it to be a beautiful religion. I absolutely do not see it. But I think that Hank Hanegraaff probably is aware of the fact that this teaching is soul-crushing. It certainly does drive many away through what they would call apostasy. Thank you very much for the email.
Gabriel has a comment about our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Quick question. Why do I hear Just As I Am for the second time in the last 3 to 5 months? I thought this song was a favorite at Billy Graham altar calls and crusades. Confessional Lutherans do not believe in synergism or in a revivalistic decision theology. Please do all you can to take this song from your selection of playlists, if possible. Thank you for the other selection of good and solid theology songs, hymns, chorales, and all-around good, upbuilding music. Thank you for listening, and thanks for the email, Gabriel.
Well, I believe, am I mistaken, Jeff, that Just As I Am appears in all three of the recent Lutheran hymnals, the Lutheran hymnal, Lutheran worship, and Lutheran service book?
This is most certainly true.
Well, the reason that's relevant is because that's kind of our standard for what gets included in the playlist. If it's in addition to the cantatas and the other music that we have choral pieces in there, if it is published in one of the synodically accepted Lutheran hymnals of the past 100 years or so, then it can be on the playlist. We've heard complaints about other songs that are in there, but they're also in the hymnals. And that's, for better or for ill, that's the standard that we have adopted for the playlist for Lutheran Public Radio.
Here's some criticism about a commercial that we air. Dear Issues, etc., I'm behind in listening to the podcast. There was a commercial, I believe it was one of the podcasts from May 28th, that I wish to comment upon. It was from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was surprised by the content of the commercial. It started out good, encouraging attendance at a Lutheran church that feeds the soul, etc. It then went off the rails, encouraging people to quit their job, move to Fort Wayne. There are jobs in Fort Wayne, and come join Redeemer, and in my words, find the true church. I found this commercial placing a false burden of the law, a false guilt trip on the hearer, almost saying you're not spiritual, not Christian, if your paycheck is more important than moving to where there is a true church. This commercial makes assumptions on a person's character, etc. I do suggest you no longer air this commercial. Sincerely, in Christ, concludes Christopher.
Well, let's hear the commercial, the ad in question.
This is a short ad, and I don't have time to explain the whole thing to you, but you and your family need a good Lutheran church. You need this for spiritual nourishment and training, and for the support and community that comes from like-minded Christians. Your children need Lutheran friends who can become Lutheran spouses. If you don't have that where you live, you should move. One of the places you should consider is Fort Wayne, so that you can attend Redeemer, maybe send your kids to Redeemer Classical School, or just get your homeschooled kids involved with the school. Besides the church, Fort Wayne has lots to offer, including jobs. If you want to talk to families that have done just this, picked up and moved to Fort Wayne for the sake of the church, we can introduce you to some. And if you want to come for a visit, we can even help with housing. Life's too short and your children are too precious to live where you aren't spiritually fed and cared for. Your job, your income, is not the most important thing in your life. Find Redeemer Lutheran in Fort Wayne on the internet and drop us a line. We'd love to help.
All right, that's the ad in question. I think we need to be very careful here. He said, if you don't have that is a solid Lutheran church or school where you live. If you don't have that, consider moving to where it is. And if you're considering doing that, consider Fort Wayne. I think the strongest point that he makes there is that right there at the very end, your job and your paycheck are not the most important thing in your life. Are they important? Well, of course they are. But far more important is that you have a place where you can hear God's word preached in its purity and have the sacraments administered, where you can be with other Lutherans and where you can be spiritually fed. That's far, far more important. I think he's just asking people to reevaluate their priorities and say, look, if you live someplace where you cannot find a church that is faithful, then consider moving here. We've got one.
You know, we had a rather lengthy discussion about the Liner Confessional Lutherans, We've Got Your Back.
The grammar,
the
right?
The grammar.
Yeah.
Lots of email, but I'm going to take this one from Tara. She said, hi, Jeff. In the ad recently referenced while responding to listener email, I would argue to keep the word back singular as it is ostensibly referencing a group. A group is singular. And that's my two cents as a fellow Missouri J school grad. Ha.
So we would assume that if she graduated.
Well, first of all, never assume anything. First credo of journalism, but proceed.
Well, okay. I'm going to assume that since she calls herself a grad, she graduated. That's short for graduation. And if she graduated from Mizzou's J school, that probably means that she understands grammar. Did they? You went to the school. What?
But she must have listened closer in classes, in the grammar classes. Yes. Oh, grammar's very.
Yeah, but you were like, weren't you like summa cum laude?
No, I was just cum laude.
Okay.
Cum
laude.
You only have to have like a 3.6 out of a 4, I think, for
all right.
Cum laude.
I thought you were like the guy standing up in the dais that they put the little tiara on at the graduation.
No.
Didn't do that for you?
No, they didn't. They didn't. How about we end some positive note? What say you?
Yes.
Didn't the Bill O'Reilly say, what say you? He's not around anymore, is he? Can I steal that from him? What say you? Sarah writes, I just want to thank you for the music side of Lutheran Public Radio. I love the podcast, but I can't work and listen at the same time. These past few months have been so stressful, but when I have the sacred music of the church playing in the background, my mind and heart are being protected from the cares of this world as I hear the word of God set to music. May our Lord continue to bless you all and the wonderful work that you do for his people and his church. Thanks for the feedback, Sarah.
Sarah, thank you very much. You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio Sacred Music for the World anytime, anyplace at lutheranpublicradio.org or on the LPR mobile app or on your favorite provider like Alexa. And it's anytime, anyplace, sacred music for the world. When we come back, Pastor Christopher Eskett joins us. We're going to talk about a New York Times story on anointing the sick with oil and last rites.
I don't care how much money I got to spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just hooked me a little.
The Boy Who Was Lost, The Beggar's Greatest Wish, The Unforgiving Servant. These are some of the 12 stories that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbooks Treasury, Life of Jesus. Learn more about this resource for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbooks Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through his word and sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at concordiawilmington.com.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.